No, we're surprised by that.
Just a couple minutes.
James, welcome. We appreciate your application and your interest in your meeting with us today. I think we explained the process a little bit for you today. We'll turn it back to you to provide some opening comments, 5 minutes or so, on why you were interested in serving on the Board of Regents. And then we will do a series of questions from the RCAC members, and then turn it back to you for any closing comments you have, hopefully all within 45 minutes. So we'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Chair Walter, Vice Chairs Taylor, Mattson, and members of the Regent Candidate Advisory Council. I'm excited to be here this afternoon to talk with you a little bit about why I'm interested in serving as a student at large on the University of Minnesota Board of Regents. Currently, I'm a junior at the University of Minnesota studying human resource development in the College of Education and Human Development. So that's the training and development side of HR. And I've been born and bred in Minnesota and had my mother and many extended family members call themselves proud alumni of the University of Minnesota. And I've really enjoyed my time as a student and have discovered many meaningful opportunities to get involved in the university community along the way. So currently my main involvement on campus is I'm the Chief of Staff of the Minnesota Student Association, which is commonly referred to as MSA. Which is the undergraduate student government on the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus. So in my role, I, along with a teammate on the Chief of Staff team, oversee our 30 to 35 staff members. There's a lot of turnover within students, so that's why I give the range. And provide assistance and guidance to 20 interns that we hired, 9 fellows, and then 75 voting members, plus any general members, any students that are interested in a particular topic. So prior to serving as the Chief of Staff, I was the Campus Life Committee Director and an at-large representative, one of those voting members. And my experience in student government has really been extremely eye-opening and informing to me about the workings of the university. I've had the chance to work with many administrators, stay updated on major initiatives and issues facing the university, and form a lot of relationships with key stakeholders. I sit on MSA's executive board, which provides strategic visioning and operational guidance to our organization, which maintains a budget of a little around $250,000. It changes a little bit every year depending on our allocation. And in my board position, I also serve as our board liaison to our independent legal counsel, which has reminded me and taught me about the importance of duty of care as a governing board member. In addition to student government, I've had the privilege this year of serving my second term on the University of Minnesota Student Unions and Activities Board of Governors, which oversees the policies in Kauffman Memorial Union, West Bank Skyway, and St. Paul Student Center. And I'm also serving my second term on the University of Minnesota Alumni Association Student and Recent Alumni Council, which has been an excellent opportunity to sit with a few fellow student representatives and then mostly recent alumni to hear about their experience and work together in a variety of projects. My past university service over my last 2.5 years since starting at the U, include the Student Services Fee Committee as a member of the leadership team, and a member of the Housing and Residential Life Advisory Board, as well as the M. Dining Student Advisory Council. And I want to highlight my time on the Student Services Fee Committee as actually one of my most rewarding experiences at the university, as it gave me the rare opportunity to learn from and hear from literally hundreds of student groups through the committee process, through the fees application process, on what their needs were, what challenges they were facing, and their thoughts on what the university could be doing better to facilitate their success. Aside from student government and the university, serving communities where I live, work, and go to school has always been very important to me. I went to high school in the Highland Park area of St. Paul, and I served on our Parent Teacher Student Association. I actually got them to make it a Parent Teacher Student Association, which was great for students to be involved. I also had the privilege of getting involved on the Board of Directors at the beginning of a nonprofit that was being formed to support the arts community in Highland Park. And I've been on the board for the last 4 years, and I just became the vice president this year of Friends of Highland Arts, is that nonprofit. Coming back to college, we all know that most students have to work to cover their expenses while going to school, and I'm certainly not an exception to that. So after a year as a student worker right next door in HR at MnDOT, and several years as a human resource team member at Target at the store level, coming out of high school, I now have landed in my junior year as the membership and marketing coordinator of the Grand Avenue Business Association. And after taking my current role at Grand Avenue, it became very clear to me that it was important to our work to maintain and nurture our relationships with our surrounding neighborhoods that we work with our business members. So I decided to join the board of directors of the Summit Hill Association, which is known also as a District 16 Planning Council in the city of St. Paul in the district council system, where I currently serve as a board member and member of the Communications Committee. So kind of coming full circle, I believe my current and past experience in governance and leadership on and off the University of Minnesota campus uniquely prepares me for the role of a regent. I'm running for the student at-large seat on the Board of Regents because I really believe this is a cornerstone moment for the university. With a new president, provost, and up to four new regents coming back on the board, there will be a lot of tough conversations that need to be had about things with all stakeholders about how to strategically advance this already great institution going into the future with new leadership. And I believe I have the right skills, existing relationships, and the ability to hit the ground running at this crucial time. I intend to be a strong student voice that actively contributes to the conversation. I view the role of the board as being strategic partners to university leadership and strong ambassadors of the excellence and opportunity the University of Minnesota offers its students. I won't be afraid to ask tough questions, as I believe oversight goes along with the fiduciary responsibility and duty of care that comes with serving as a regent. And if elected, serving as a regent would be my utmost personal and professional priority alongside my remaining academic obligations. I value consistent communication, transparency, and clearly outlined processes and procedures. And I believe those values that I hold produce high-quality governance outputs. Once again, I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm looking forward to answering any of your questions.
Thank you. I will start out with the first one. The University of Minnesota is obviously our state's land-grant university, land-grant institution. What does that mean to you, and what do you think it should mean to the people of Minnesota?
Well, it obviously means to someone who may be familiar with that term means and what it doesn't mean. Clearly, growing up in Minnesota all my life, and the University of Minnesota has been extremely important to me. And not only because of my family history in it, which I kind of mentioned earlier, but as I became more aware of politics and current events and the role of the university within the state of Minnesota, I've realized now kind of where the university fits in politically and on the political landscape and the state landscape of how things are structured. So to me, the importance of the University of Minnesota being a land-grant institution and being research-focused and giving students an opportunity to focus on research and really have not only just the benefits of having a Big Ten institution in your state. So for me, that's something when I was considering where to go to college, the U was already on the top of my list, schools that I was pursuing, just because I've grown up, literally lived 10 minutes away from campus my whole life, so I had this kind of the spirit of the university in my everyday life. But as I've come to be a little bit more aware and realize what that means of the university being a land-grant institution, I think it's really important, and sometimes it gets lost in sight when making decisions, and I think we need to remember that and take that back to be a focus.
Council Member Hipsch.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being here today. You talked a little bit about the Twin Cities campus, but as the University of Minnesota also has coordinating campuses. Tell me about your experience with those coordinating campuses and how you might go about getting up to speed on kind of the different missions that each of them serve.
Sure. Well, being in MSA student government, we work a lot with the University Senate system. So that obviously speaks right to a governance system that includes all the coordinating campuses. So for a little while before we had a technical rule change that I won't go into for the sake of time, when you could be a voting member and on staff of student government, I was a student senator for a little bit of time before I got hired on staff, representing CEHD in the Twin Cities Senate, obviously. But I attended a Senate meeting and did some other Senate activities where, of course, we coordinated with the student senates at all the system campuses. So for me, I feel like, depending on the issues, of course, there's issues that we all share as a system that all students from all five system campuses are concerned about, and there's issues that are campus-specific. But for me, working, I guess I would use the example of campus dining and some ethical considerations with our campus dining provider at the Twin Cities campus. That was a conversation related to one of the report topics in the last cohort of student representatives to the Board of Regents about corporate ethics. We used Aramark as a case study, and that was, for me, the first or one of the first times where I was really involved in depth with an issue that really impacted all coordinating campuses. However, we talk all the time on a weekly basis on different issues that are happening, so I feel like I have somewhat of a pulse. Obviously, I'm not in my role as chief of staff. My focus has been more internal. So just being interested in university issues, I continue to listen and pay attention. But through my existing connections with students at all five system campuses, I feel like I'd be able to already have great existing inputs and would be able to grow in those relationships on system campuses as well.
Council members, next question. Vice Chair Taylor.
James, it's interesting. I was elected to the CMU board in the spring of 1957. So I'm quite familiar with the student home on the East Bank campus. I'm a regular attendee at Regents meetings and know that at some time in the last 12 months, there was a conversation about a name change for the Kauffman Memorial Union. Knowing that it's the students' home on campus, tell us a little bit more about the name change, the discussion, what role the students should play in the ultimate disposition of that important issue.
Well, I want to highlight something you said about it being the student home for activities on campus, and I think that's what has really energized an active base of students on this issue that's referred to as Rename Reclaim, the campaign, and that's based off the campus climate exhibit that was over at Anderson Library, I believe, on West Bank. The Rename Reclaim effort, there's a lot of facets to that. There's student representation on the U History Committee. MSA did a bunch of stuff back last semester. But to come back to your question, I think that the reason why this has really garnered a lot of interest is, one, the exhibit was really eye-opening for a lot of people. I personally saw the exhibit, and I would agree that it was extremely eye-opening to the history of the institution that we spend every day at and live on and do activities on and all that and work at. But there's a specific cohort of students, a lot of them, that I've gotten to know because they're the student groups that have offices on the second floor of the Memorial Union. And that's where our office is in student government, so we do a lot of listening and have a lot of conversations. And there's a lot of groups of marginalized students that feel comfortable or don't want to have the base of their activities, their extracurricular involvement at the U in a building that has questionable and hurtful history to them. So I think that is certainly well-placed. I think a lot of that frustration and that disappointment is well-placed. And of course now there's the, I might be not getting the name exactly right, but I know it's referred to a lot as the U History Committee that has the deadlines to present recommendations to President Kaler. I know that deadline was again shifted back at the end of the semester, and then ultimately, you know, the Board of Regents makes decisions on names of buildings. So I think students have been doing an excellent job with the campaign. I know there's a lot of energy behind it. I know students aren't losing sight of it. And I think the role of students within that campaign is to continue to be very thoughtful about their advocacy approach. I think they have been since Rename Reclaim started. And now, of course, wait for the U History Committee recommendations, react to those, and then see what, in terms of the Regents' order of business, this may be discussed this in 2019.
Thank you.
Council Member Menon.
Thank you, and thank you for being here today, James. An issue that will come up, certainly if you are confirmed to the Board of Regents, is crisis management. As you know, we've dealt with a number of pretty notable crises at the University of Minnesota over the last few years. So I want to know, specifically as your role as a student regent to the, or representative to the, or student regent, what you think crisis management should look like and how that fits into the collaborative effort that the Board of Regents will have to take, specifically because you'll be representing a certain demographic, students as opposed to a geographic region.
So crisis management, obviously in any governance situation, specifically at a large institution, is very important and something that happens. you know, in student government, again, acknowledging that we're on a much more smaller scale, but still significant to our lives as students. And specifically in my role, it seems like there's a crisis on a daily, if not hourly, basis that we're working on. But to specifically answer your question, I think to speak to those larger events or really difficult problems or challenges that come up at the board level for the University of Minnesota, I think specifically to your question, my role, if confirmed as a student regent, would be one, to act as a resource of information. You know, there's a variety of things that I've witnessed as a student in the past years that I've been on campus, and a lot of things get really blown out of proportion because of a lack of information. So I think it's the role of the student regent to, one, be kind of you know, work within the existing structures that exist to be that resource of information from the highest level of governance to students in an appropriate way and in a professional way, depending on the nature of the situation. But to speak to crisis management kind of in general, I think being, you know, at the governance level of the University of Minnesota, being a larger institution, it's important that you have the skills to be calm, the skills to listen. It's important for me to absorb all the information. And of course, listening to recommendations from whoever is kind of at the center of dealing with whatever the particular situation is, but also just being present, being a team player, and being willing to do whatever you can to assist in your capacity. That makes the most sense depending on the situation. But I think specifically to speak to the student part, one, being hopefully helpful in that resource of transferring information. I think students get riled up a lot because of a lack of information, and that comes from the highest levels all the way down.
Thank you. Councilmember Moore.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Candidate Farnsworth, for being with us. Quick question for you. How long have you been a board member for Youth and Government, YMCA?
So that is part of, it's kind of a mix of past and present.
Oh, okay.
So I was a board member for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Of the YMCA Youth and Government, and then I stepped off the board. I was a student representative, and now I'm the chair of kind of a recent alumni committee that we modeled after the UMAA student and recent alumni committee, and excited to be here at the Capitol this week for Youth and Government.
Well, thank you for your service, and thank you for putting up with Orville for a couple years. But my question is, if you were president of the university and you knew you could achieve any objective, what initiative would you undertake and why?
That's a tough question. There's a lot of competing interests and important priorities. I think something that has come up recently that I think is, well, not come up recently, but just happened because of, just been actively discussed because of the course of the board's business, is the issue of NRNR tuition, non-reciprocity, non-resident tuition. Obviously, that speaks into a broader discussion about tuition and kind of the access versus excellence argument. And I think that if I was president of the university, I would first, you know, that goes along with the discussion about NRN or tuition, and the discussion about tuition in general goes along with the budget cycle. So when that came back up, I would really be proactive about having a discussion with students and listening to students. Because an issue like NRN or tuition, where you think, of course, kind of a student's main issue is tuition a lot of places and a lot of different institutions around the country. But if you think about an issue like NRNR tuition and its impact on, let's say, international students, there's issues about working on campus, there's issues about, you know, work study and international students being able to work on campus, then that impacts student experience and quality of life. So if you think, you know, yes, you can isolate the issue of NRNR tuition, but it really speaks to the broader conversation about tuition and about how do we achieve, you know, what kind of students do we want to make sure we're getting at the university? Of course, we want competitive, we want bright, we want a diverse student body. How do we achieve that in the scope of tuition? So I'm particularly interested in that conversation, and that's something that I would really want to have a robust conversation with students as the president of the university.
Councilmember Carlson.
I know you attend the Regents meetings because I see you at the Regents meeting. Let's say you're recommended by this committee and you actually gain a seat on the Board of Regents. So you're sitting at the end of the table where the new folks sit. Chair Regent McMillan is at the front. And what is going to be the growth area that you need to work on or be aware of as you sit at the Regents meetings?
I think for me, an area of growth, you know, I have a fair amount of governance experience with smaller nonprofits and smaller groups. I think for me, being able to have an opportunity to further develop my understanding of larger institutional governance, which of course as a student, there's not very many opportunities to develop that before entering a process like this. But for me, well, literally sitting at the table during a Regents meetings, you know, there's things like parliamentary procedure, which I feel fairly comfortable with, and kind of like the, how the meeting runs. But I think how I would sit there from month to month to month and think about an area of growth for me, it would be, how do I, you know, focus on values that are important to me, like strategic planning, being smart about governance, and asking smart questions that are student-centric with students in mind, but also being conscious of my role as, yes, there's a, you're the student at large regent, but you're also one of the 12 regents, and there's a lot of other stakeholders to keep in mind when conducting governance at a large institution like the University of Minnesota. So for me, whether that's looking through a budget report or a strategic scorecard for a department or something like that, I would say looking through those pieces while thinking about being student-centric, but also thinking about all the stakeholders that exist for a particular issue, and, you know, thinking about governance in a little bit of a larger institutional sense, for me would be an area that I constantly be thinking about and working on. You know, Regent Simonson always jokes that he's still onboarding, but, you know, I get that. I'm sure it's a long process, and it wouldn't just be a year, it would be several, thinking about and growing and learning in that area.
Follow up, please. Those are the programmatic aspects of it, but the three people we met with this morning who were at large or 5th Congressional District, we asked them about their style when they're on the board. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to that?
So I think my style, and this is not, you know, obviously this goes with being in a new position and just learning, but also even when I'm in positions or organizations on a board or on a committee that I've been on for a long time, I really try to listen first and absorb all the information. I know, like they say, you know, back when you're in school, to not raise your hand till the end because I might cover everything during this lecture, but that's really true. I mean, there's presenters for a reason. There's people that are subject matter experts that are before the board for a reason. And I think it's important to listen to them and really digest all the information. And sometimes, especially being the new person, listening to other regents and what their questions are, because I think that can be really inspiring and really help, you know, what I would presume would help my development process as well. So listening first, being really collaborative, being a team player, which I referenced to earlier. You know, there's 12 members of the board, all 12 regents need to work collaboratively together. I don't think there's, you know, anything that I can do without working with other regents to achieve that. So I think being collaborative, being a team player, and really authentically listening and doing my work ahead of time, actually reading. So I know sometimes the dockets are 300 pages long, but, you know, people put that together for a reason. It's important to read it, it's important to annotate it, it's important to ask questions ahead of time and then use the board time meeting, or the board, the time in the board meeting really effectively.
Thank you.
Councilmember Erickson.
Chairman, thank you, Mr. Farnsworth, for coming. If you were, you're scheduled to graduate in next spring, not this spring, but next, right? You're a junior. So if you didn't continue your education, you'd be a student regent for almost 5 years of your term. Do you intend, or are you thinking about continuing to be a student at the University of Minnesota during more of your term? And if not, or if there's a part of your term that you're not a student, How does a student regent operate as a regent when they're not a student?
Yeah, as I alluded to a little bit in the beginning, I'm certainly committed to my academic obligations wherever they may take me. So certainly still an undergrad, intending on finishing that on time in 4 years, so spring of 2020. Both my parents went to graduate school, going to graduate school, and continuing education is something that's a concept that's certainly not unfamiliar to me. But I'm always kind of a person to not predict super far into the future just because you never know what may end up happening. But for me, graduate school is certainly something I'm interested in. It's certainly something that I'm considering as I get a little bit closer and as I work with my advisor to finish planning what academic obligations look like. To answer your question, if I didn't, for whatever reason, continue, I think that my existing relationships that I've already built would really help me in that, being in touch with students. I know our student government asks or invites the student at-large regent to one MSA form legislative meeting a year. So I think those conversations are important to continue. I have a lot of relationships with administration and knowing, you know, being able to work with them and what students are working on various topics that may be in front of the board. And staying in touch with, I guess, the existing governance structures that I'm really familiar with and value and know how important they are and know how to, who to ask for what within them, because a lot of the structures have maintained consistency for a long time would be something that was really important to me. And I certainly would not lose sight of that if I wasn't currently enrolled at the university for whatever reason.
Councilmember Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Farnsworth. I kind of expected when Mr. Moore asked what you would do if you could do anything you wanted as president, that you'd say no student will ever pay tuition again. I mean, related to that, if the university is going to not have an unlimited amount of tuition money to raise, how are they going to get resources to pay for the services they provide?
Certainly the key question, isn't it? So for me, no, obviously I know that the university has to have tuition revenue because it's important for budgeting and for being able to provide resources that are student-centric. But you're right. It's really important to students that tuition doesn't continue to go up and up and up because, you know, where the university may have the ability to do that, families don't have the ability to stretch that any further. So that's kind of some of the conversation that was happening in the recent conversations about NRNR tuition, which I mentioned, as well as just tuition in general. And to your point, I have more of an internal role this year, so I wasn't kind of leading any of the conversations on the NRNR tuition. But as I helped with a few things here and there, that was something that I was asking too, is and encouraging the group of students that were working on that, is to think about answers to the question that you just asked, which is, you know, what do students recommend if tuition is going to hold or decrease or freeze or whatever may happen in the future, whatever students want? Well, where else do you get those resources? And of course, the University of Minnesota benefits from a supportive legislature related to supporting the land-grant institution that is the University of Minnesota. So I think it's important that the university is smart and strategic about the requests that are being made at the legislature. And I think it's a mixture of legislative funding and tuition dollars and like the examples in the area of philanthropic contributions, so like the Driven to Discover campaign and all of that. It's important to have actively engaged alumni, and I've learned a lot more about what that means and why that's so important to core student experience at the University of Minnesota through my time interacting with recent alumni on the UMAA Council. So it's a strategic and smart mix of legislative funding, tuition, philanthropic donations, and smart budgeting within the university to make sure that the university is spending student dollars and institutional dollars the best that they can.
Thank you.
Additional questions from council members? Councilmember Hipsch.
As a regent, you'd be one of 12, and in conversations, there could be times when the regents would take a vote that would not necessarily be aligned with what students or your fellow students would want to have. Sometimes you'd be able to share the details on that. Sometimes there'd be details that you wouldn't be able to share. Sometimes there might be even yourself you wish it would have went a different way, but the regents have made a decision. How do you balance that, and how do you talk to your constituents about that when you know that there might be something that they're not at all in favor of?
Yeah, I think especially given representing a specific constituency like students in that position, I think that's really hard. But for me, again, it's extremely important to me to be student-centric in a lot of decisions. But I also, because of my experience, I know how governance works, and I know that sometimes you have to make decisions based on things that may be confidential or all stakeholders may not have the right information. And because of that experience, I know listening to your constituency is really important, and being in tune with student priorities and being up to date and being knowledgeable and being informed is really important. But because I believe really strongly in the institution and in the role of the Board of Regents, I would be very comfortable making difficult decisions that may either not appear to be aligned with a specific student priority, and not necessarily that, but also even more important than that, being able to explain and articulate to students why something happened and being a resource of information as much as I can within the realm of whatever the topic is, whatever is appropriate given the nature of the topic. But of course, I can imagine there'll be certain situations where, you know, you're dealing with a contentious issue. I keep going back to tuition, but that's kind of the easiest example to talk about, where there's, you know, it's pretty black and white, where there's a vote that students may be mostly in favor of, and there's a way that students mostly not, you know, may not be in favor of. But it's important, as I kind of mentioned earlier, yes, you're the student at large regent, but you're also one of the 12 regents, and to think about all stakeholders and really be authentic about balancing the competing needs in a particular situation when taking a tough vote, and then being willing to be a resource of information and explain that and talk with anyone who wants to, is really how you can, how I can envision being the most authentic about it.
Councilmember Erickson.
To follow up on that student status question, none of the seven candidates, as far as I can see, have committed to be students for six more years, so you're in the same category of them. What do you know, or perhaps Chair McMillan knows, of Regent Omari? Was he a student for six of his period? 3 years? A student of, that's kind of the precedent, I suspect, something like that. Okay, I don't know if you knew, or, but we've got the answer, so it's something we'll deal with, but you're not alone. Everyone else will be. You're eligible now, and go for that. Thank you for that information. Three of the six.
Yeah, I'm going to double check it while you guys continue to talk, but I'm pretty sure.
Thank you.
Council members, additional questions? No. Council member Carlson.
You have a huge list of activities, and you know how much work the Board of Regents is if you really read the Regent docket. Yeah. You just fly in and kind of listen and vote. No. Are you spread too thin?
You know, I anticipated this question possibly coming up when I was designing my my handout.
Well, you're a very smart man, then.
And it actually comes up daily in other situations, too. For me, a lot of these experiences that I've listed and talked about, whether it's on campus or off campus, have been experiences that I've, you know, only been a part of because I see value, or that not only are they possibly developing me professionally, I don't think it's right if I've just seen something benefit me. I want to hopefully be helpful in all these situations, or on all these things that I'm involved in. So for instance, some of the past university involvement I've talked about, those are great experiences for me, but there's things that, you know, it's great to be a part of and contribute to for 1 or 2 years, and not. So I've sunset some of those, obviously. For a lot of my other commitments, I think that a lot of, you know, as I was thinking about applying for this position and really considering the question that you're asking right now, I came to the conclusion that a lot of, and pretty much all of the things that I'm involved in right now would really prepare me and really equip me with the skills to be a regent. And I would, you know, if elected, obviously scale back some of those. You know, just with student government, for instance, which is probably my main thing, it's, you know, you can't be in both. Be the student at large regent and be in student government at the same time. I would think that would be ill advised for anyone, and two, it's kind of, you know, it's a conflict. So, as far as I see it, and as far as I know, talking to other people, so I know that for sure would be gone, and that would kind of eliminate a lot of my other on campus things that I talked about, because I believe being a regent would really not only need to be, but I would want it to be my top priority besides continuing on with whatever academic obligations I'm involved in at the university.
Can I have a follow-up? Yes. I Googled as many people as I could find among the 20. I have little to do. And there's a lot of information about you out there, and particularly where you asked the Highland School Board to add a student to the board. You start too many things.
Well, I mean, I would say that that example, for instance, that was actually talking to the St. Paul Public Schools school board to add a student.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine, because I also did it at the Highland level.
Yes,
well.
I saw both articles.
So really, student advocacy has always been really important to me. So that, you know, speaking of those two examples, speaking of the St. Paul Public School Board of Education example, they actually started that process. And then I was great at the end of my time being in high school. So there was a lot of competent people that were working with me on that and picked it up and continued it, which was great to see. And now they have a really robust student advocacy program within their Board of Education. You know, yes, I have a lot of ideas, and yes, I have a lot of passions. But for me, those kind of two examples really speak to something that I really believe strongly in, which is student advocacy. And I've been pretty consistent about that and think it should be involved in as many structures as possible. And we're lucky. I'm very lucky to even be sitting here today. I'm looking at the rest of our Big Ten peers and talking to all of our fellow members of the Association of Big Ten Students. Most students would never have an opportunity like I have sitting here right now. And I'm very aware of that and very, very thankful for that as well.
Thank you for that candid answer.
Last question is Vice Chair Madsen.
Hi. I think you know that we're going to be voting on Friday to move candidates forward. And we just want to make sure that you're aware of what the next steps are and if you're prepared for the next steps, which would be if you're, you know, you go forward, then you'll be knocking on legislator doors for several weeks. Yeah. And we just want to make sure you were aware that or had any questions about next steps as far as, do you have a network in place? Are you planning on doing all that knocking yourself? Or kind of how are you going to be handling that particular phase of this whole process?
No, I appreciate the question. And yes, having had a variety of conversations with a lot of different people before this, and even just listening way before I even was in this position to be a candidate, yes, I've heard about really what a robust process it is, you know, coming out of this committee and going to the next steps. So I'm definitely prepared to do that. I think that, you know, it's something I'm very interested in, and it's something that when I thought about doing this, I thought about the entire process from start to finish, and if I thought that was attainable and something that I had the capacity for, and I did come to the conclusion that yes, I do. In terms of having a network, luckily through Minnesota YMCA Youth in Government, that's provided me with an incredible opportunity to get to know a lot of people in government here in the state office building and at the Capitol. And through some other advocacy I've done, that's really provided me with a great base network and places to begin conversations, not just with my own representatives at home, but with others that I've met from different districts across the state. Hopefully some people will be willing to help me out to the knocking question, but I guess we'll wait and see when things become official, hopefully if they do, and when next steps start.
Well, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of our questions. Which, do you have additional comments or any closing remarks you'd like to make?
I think I kind of laid out why I'm interested in the position at the beginning. I kind of laid out what my background is, and I would just say, specifically to the question that you were asking over here, kind of about student experience and being a student. I know it's been a while since an undergrad was in a student at large position on the board. And that's something that I've thought of, and I think it's a perspective that's really important. I would love to have the opportunity to bring that undergrad voice back into the student at large position, given that it's been a long time and given that, you know, there's a lot of us to be represented and a lot of voices and a lot of things to be considered. So that's kind of the one thing I wanted to add that I didn't already touch on is, you know, I'm particularly proud of my status as an undergrad and what that would mean to represent undergrads in a position that an undergrad hasn't sat in for a long time.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time and interest in this, and